From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns comes to the final message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. The message is entitled, A Sermon About Us and Our Savior. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Faithful and Useful. The text is Psalm 101, verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. If David spoke thus, we may be sure that the son of David will be of the same mind. Jesus looks out for faithful men, and he fixes his eyes upon them, to observe them, to bring them forward, to encourage them, and to reward them. Let no true-hearted man think that he is overlooked. The king himself has his eye upon him. There are two results of this royal notice. First, we read, that they may dwell with me. Jesus brings the faithful into his house. He sets them in his palace. He makes them his companions. He delights in their society. We must be true to our Lord, and he will then manifest himself to us. When our faithfulness costs us most, it will be best rewarded. The more furiously men reject, the more joyfully will our Lord receive us. Next, he says of the sincere man, He shall serve me. Jesus will use for his own glory those who scorn the tricks of policy and are faithful to himself, his word, and his cross. These shall be in his royal retinue, the honored servants of his majesty. Communion and usefulness are the wages of faithfulness. Lord, make me faithful, that I may dwell with thee and serve thee.
You are.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his final message in the book of Joshua. Chapter 24, verse 29, records the death of Joshua. In this message, Dr. Cairns will make two major points. First, he draws parallels between Joshua and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will emphasize the solemn truth that Joshua died, and so must we. One of the principal characteristics of both Joshua and Christ is that they were servants. Then Joshua led the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land, even as our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus, leads his people into the everlasting rest of heaven. Now to commence this message, a sermon about us and our Savior. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Today, we come to stand, as it were, among the children of Israel as they say farewell to Joshua. With them, we stand around his corpse and we remember with gratitude his labors. It is, I think, perhaps a little instructive, perhaps prophetic of the way things would go in Israel that we read of no public mourning for Joshua. There were days and weeks of mourning for Moses. There were days and weeks of mourning for Aaron. But we read of no such thing for Joshua. I realize that's a far cry from saying there was no public mourning. I would sincerely doubt that there could be no public mourning at all. But I think the omission of it from the sacred record is probably indicative of the way things would soon go, because as soon as ever possible, the coming generation would forget what Joshua had stood for, what he had taught them, the way he had led them, and they would seek to go their own way into idolatry and into folly. But notwithstanding that, I think that as we read this passage of Scripture, we could say that we stand among people who had to have a sense of gratitude to God and to His servant for the many labors that He had executed among them for many years. With these children of Israel, then, we focus our thoughts on the solemn truths which Joshua's death sets before us. And today I think we can learn some very important lessons, biblical lessons, gospel lessons, for life, for death, and for eternity. As I pondered the closing section of Joshua, there were many lines of thought. To be quite honest, we could spend many weeks in these final few verses. But I thought we would finish the series on a very, very simple and a very striking fashion. I want us to think of the death of Joshua as a parting sermon to us about us and about our Redeemer. Joshua's death, a parting sermon to us about us and about our Redeemer. And I'll start with the Redeemer, because as you have studied through the book of Joshua, I trust one thing has come out very clearly, and that is the great parallel between Joshua and the Lord Jesus. So I want us once more to note that Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died, and so reminds us of our greater Joshua, who also died. But thank God, who, unlike Joshua, lives glorified forever. Joshua's name and Joshua's work are very precious reminders of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name, let me remind you, is the Old Testament form of the New Testament name, Jesus. In fact, Joshua is actually referred to as Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4. The names are absolutely the same. And it is not merely a coincidence that this Joshua bears the name of our coming Savior. That was by divine design, so that when we would read of this man and his name, his person, and his work, our thoughts would transcend the history and they would settle upon the great spiritual realities pictured in that history, and we would see our greater Joshua and contemplate him whose name is Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. This Joshua in the Old Testament is known preeminently as the servant of the Lord. What a title to have from God. What a title with which to live. What a title with which to die. The servant of the Lord. That is a title, I think, that was very fitting for Joshua. We read of him as a young man, as Moses' minister, and how he stayed in the tabernacle, how it was his delight to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we think of all those things, we can see an immediate parallel with the greater Joshua, who is the true servant of Jehovah. When you think of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can describe it in many ways. But all those descriptions funnel down into this one great title that Isaiah gives to the Lord Jesus. He is, in a preeminent manner, the servant of Jehovah. And just like the Joshua in the Old Testament, as he comes as the servant of God, first and foremost, he steps onto this scene of time as the minister or the servant of Moses. Moses is, of course, the great lawgiver. Moses, indeed, is used to denote the law itself. So that the law and Moses in various places in Scripture are synonymous terms. When we read of the Old Testament Joshua as Moses' minister or Moses' servant, we are prepared to see in the New Testament Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect servant of the Lord and the perfect minister or servant of Moses. What do we read concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Now follow me carefully. In that statement we have the deity of Christ. He's God's Son. We have the humanity of Christ. He is made of a woman. That is God's description, and a very finely wrought theological description it is, of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very tempted to take time once again to give you a little disquisition on Galatians 4 verse 4 and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Forget all those notions that you hear that Jesus Christ was somehow carried by Mary, but his humanity was a direct creation out of nothing by the Holy Ghost. That is not true. And if it were true, he would not be our Savior and could not be our Savior. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of the Virgin Mary so that of her substance the entire humanity of Jesus Christ was made. He was made of a woman. He was not merely carried by a woman. He was made of a woman. There is the glorious miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. His deity, his humanity and his virgin birth. But notice this, he was made under the law. He was the servant of Moses. He was the satisfier of the law. We spent some time a couple of Sabbath evenings ago thinking of Christ, the end of the law, Christ, the fulfiller of the law, Christ, the satisfier of the law, he who fulfilled all righteousness, as the Old Testament Joshua was the servant of the Lord, so is our Lord Jesus Christ. And in serving the Lord, he fulfilled the law in its letter, in its precept, and thank God he satisfied it in the penalty that it demanded, because he, as Joshua, went through Jordan. It was only because he went through Jordan, the Jordan of death, that he could take his people through and into the land of God's provided salvation. So the very name of Joshua, his office, parallels that of Christ. And so, of course, does his work. What a work Joshua did. As the children of Israel stood around his dead body, they would have been the wickedest of men the most undeserving and ungrateful of men, had they not thought what a great work Joshua had done for them. He had led them out of the wilderness. He had led them through the River Jordan on dry ground. He had brought them to the other side. He had conquered their enemies. He had reduced the great city of Jericho. He had brought them from victory unto victory until finally he put them in possession of their promised rest in God's land that flowed with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. What a work Joshua did. Bless God, it was but a picture of the greater work of the greater Joshua. That rest, Paul tells us in Hebrews 4, was not the final rest. It was not the full rest. It was not what God really had promised. It was but a picture of the greater rest that the greater Joshua gives to his people. Thank God for a Savior who has led us out of the wilderness. Where did Jesus find us? He found us in a waste and howling wilderness. He could have left us there. He owed us nothing. But bless God in love, he came into the wilderness and he led us out. He led us through the Jordan of his death, onto resurrection ground, into the experience of God's rest. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is a glorious rest in Jesus Christ. It is the Lamb that flows with milk and honey. You think of Canaan, and I'm not going to read these passages again. I have done it on various occasions. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and Deuteronomy chapter 10, you've got a glorious description of the land of Canaan. What is there in Canaan? What was in it for the people of God? It was the land of fullness, the land of fatness, the land of God's favor, the land of plenty, the land of the vine and the oil olive, the land that God rained upon from heaven, whose hills and valleys were blessed of God. It was a sumptuous land into which God brought his people. And my friend, that is but a vague little picture of what the Savior brings us into. So many times Christians concentrate when they give their testimony on the wilderness out of which the Savior brought them, and they fail to concentrate into the wonderful land into which the Savior brings them. Bless God, he has not only taken us out of the wilderness, but he has brought us into Canaan, where God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where we can enjoy the fullness and the fatness of God's favor. And we can go with Peter down the list of these things, saying, "Thank God we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, sanctified through the Holy Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Bless God, he has brought us into a land of fullness. He has brought us into a land where we can not only be saved, but enjoy being saved, where we can walk in tandem with our Joshua, where we can have fellowship with our great captain of salvation, where we know his presence, we know his provision, we know his wisdom, we know his will, we know his guidance, we know his support, we know that he'll never leave us and never forsake us, and we know that we can enjoy all that he has wrought for us. That's what the Savior has done for us. And as you look at Joshua, bless God, in him you have this picture. Glorious parallels.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.